Hello and welcome to another edition of the South Carolina Business Review. This is Mike Switzer. It's probably safe to say that most companies view the U.S. Department of Labor as an agency that advocates for employee rights. And while that is certainly true, our next guest would like you to know that the USDOL also works hard to assist businesses as well. Colin Trimble is a community outreach and resource planning specialist with the Wage and Hour Division of the U.S. Department of Labor in Columbia, South Carolina. Today he's in our studio. Colin, welcome.
Thank you, Mike.
So tell us what your office does here in Columbia.
The Wage and Hour Division enforces several federal labor laws, such as the Fair Labor Standards Act, the Family Medical Leave Act, prevailing wages under the Davis-Bacon Act and Service Contract Act, and several others. As the community outreach and resource planning specialist, I'm focused on getting compliance assistance materials to businesses that must follow the laws that we enforce, and also providing outreach presentations to employer groups and employee groups so that both sides are aware of rights and responsibilities for compliance.
What would be some compliance-related materials that businesses need to keep on hand?
Well, there are posters required for certain businesses, depending on what they do exactly. If they're in agriculture, there are some posters that we have for the H-2A program, a program that agricultural employers use to bring in temporary non-immigrant workers to work on farms, work in agriculture. And also there's the Migrant and Seasonal Agricultural Worker Protection Act, and there's a posting requirement for that. The Fair Labor Standards Act has its own poster. The Family Medical Leave Act has its own poster. So in each case, a business that must comply with one of those laws must have the poster in its place of business. Beyond that, we have lots of compliance guides, some handy reference guides, and so on. So those are the sorts of things I like to bring to distribute to employers and business groups whenever they attend the outreach presentations that I do out in the field.
Well, let's talk about one of these outreach presentations. What's an example of a program you're working on right now?
Well, one is called PAID, and what that stands for is Payroll Audit Independent Determination. And it is a self-reporting tool that allows employers who are acting in good faith to resolve inadvertent Fair Labor Standards Act minimum wage and overtime problems while reducing the cost of litigation.
So is this sort of like an amnesty program?
What we think of it as is just a self-reporting tool where if an employer, like I said, acting in good faith, notices on their payroll that they have a minimum wage or overtime problem and they want to resolve it, pay the back wages that they owe, they can apply to be in that program, and then they can take care of that problem while reducing the cost of litigation.
Can you share with us an example of how a company may find itself inadvertently on the wrong side of the minimum wage and overtime rules?
Well, something that may be common would be an employer that, for one reason or another, has assumed over the years that overtime may apply after 80 hours in a biweekly period, when in fact the Fair Labor Standards Act, for the most part, requires overtime to be paid after 40 hours in a 7-day work week. And so if an employer finds that they have inadvertently violated overtime rules because they've been paying overtime after 80 hours biweekly, they could review their pay and time records and identify instances in which they may have an overtime payment to one employee or more. That's a very common example that we see out in the field. Employers just being honest and saying, hey, you know, I made an assumption over the years. It sounds like that may be wrong. How can I correct it? Well, that's what the PAID program is for.
How else are you working with the business community?
I like to go out into the public and do presentations on the Family Medical Leave Act, Fair Labor Standards Act, and it includes minimum wage and overtime, record keeping and child labor rules. But a more recent rule is called Break Time for Nursing Mothers. It was a provision added to the Fair Labor Standards Act in 2010, I believe it was. That is a rule that requires certain female employees to be given break time if they are a nursing mother with a newborn baby.
Well, South Carolina certainly is known as an agricultural state, although manufacturing is obviously a big presence as well. Does agriculture have its own outreach area as well?
Certainly. Some of the topics that we'd like to cover would be housing condition standards for workers who come from out of town, come from out of state, and in the case of H-2A workers, those who come from out of the country temporarily. So there are housing conditions that we enforce. There are transportation conditions that we enforce if those workers are being transported by the employer. In addition to that, there are wage disclosure rules. And for the H-2A program, there are expenses that must be covered by the employer to bring the workers in temporarily and to ensure that they go back to their home country when the season is done.
Well, Colin, thanks so much for taking time to visit our studio today.
Thank you, Mike. Pleasure to be here.
Colin Trimble is a community outreach and resource planning specialist with the Wage and Hour Division of the U.S. Department of Labor in Columbia, South Carolina. We will have a link to his office posted at our webpage so you can learn more. Our address is southcarolinapublicradio.org, where you can hear this show again and subscribe to this podcast. With the South Carolina Business Review, this is Mike Switzer.
The views expressed on the South Carolina Business Review do not necessarily reflect those of South Carolina Public Radio.